Angel motioned for her to take a seat on a park bench. They were right beside a small koi-filled infinity pond, part of the Taiyang's recycling systems. The pool spilled over a lip and cascaded four stories down into a lily pad studded pool at the bottom. From there, Angel could see, the water flowed into an artificial cave. It was almost definitely the same biotechnical firm that Catherine Case had used for her Cypress developments. The water beside them would find its way into the bowels of the Taiyang, where it would be filtered and turned into drinking water. He stared at the pool and its living river, with its lily pads and bioluminescent fish, feeling envious. The water could leave this park and garden space, but he couldn't. Not with those Callies holding all the exits with their fancy badges. Angel scanned the area for emergency exits, but nothing stood out. Overhead, the television displays kept blaring the news about the destroyed dam in Colorado.
"Watch the TV," Angel said.
"Why?"
"'Cause everyone else is and we're blending in."
The wreckage was immense. Blue Mesa Dam, plus the Morrow Point and Crystal Dams as well. All on the Gunnison River. The river where Ellis had been, trying to make buys. Case was going to be pissed. The girl was staring up at the broken dam.
Who did that?
The same question Catherine Case was probably asking, but with the pointed addition of, why didn't I know it was coming? Angel didn't envy Ellis, if he ever surfaced again. Case would put his head on a spike for missing this.
California, probably. They'll deny it, but it was their water. Colorado wasn't sending it down the way they were supposed to.
How come?
Farms are drying up, cattle are dying, standard stuff.
So California blew up the dam?
Looks that way.
Angel scanned the people around him, trying to come up with a way out of the trap, seeing no help in the mix of Chinese technical talent and zoner finance types watching the shit hit the fan in Colorado.
He spied the jogger Callie still doing his stretches. Nobody seemed to be looking for Angel in particular, or else his outfit and companion were enough to throw them off. The two Callies he'd passed before were coming down again. He could see them getting on the glass elevator.
"Do me a favor," Angel said to Maria. "Look over slow and easy at the elevator coming down. You recognize either of those two guys? They the ones who killed your friend?"
She glanced over, then turned her gaze back to the TVs.
I didn't really see them, just their shoes."
"And they don't match?"
"No."
Her brow knitted.
"One of the guys had cowboy boots. Jeans, too, not business suits."
"But it was two guys who took the woman?" he asked. "You sure about that? Did either of them have a business suit?"
"I don't know. I don't think so. But I mostly just heard them."
"She was alive, though, when they took her out?"
"I think so. They wanted to ask her questions."
Angel scanned the Callies again.
"You sure about the cowboy boots?"
"Yeah."
She sounded definite. Angel leaned back, disappointed. None of the six Callies Angel had spied so far were dressed casually. For a second, he'd hoped he might find a lead on what had happened to Lucy. If she wasn't dead already, she'd be dead soon. Professionals didn't leave witnesses.
"Were you friends with the lady?" Maria asked.
The question took Angel off guard.
"No, why?"
"I don't know. I thought maybe she was your girl or something. You seem awful worried about her."
Angel thought about it.
She had some mice in her. Real hard-ass lady. Kind of like that about her."
He shrugged.
"Course she was a journo with some real high principles, and that shit just gets you killed."
"Stupid,"
the girl said.
"Yeah,"
Angel sighed. "You'd be surprised how many people get their priorities screwed up." The Callies were joining up with one another, a whole clump of them, and suddenly they were all looking in Angel's direction, reaching up to earbuds to talk with their friends.
"I do believe they're on to us," Angel said.
He stood slowly,
stretching, and sure enough, the Cali started to move. Casually, just like Angel, but still on the move. Angel scanned the atrium one last time, studying the infinity pool where it spills over the lip and cascaded down, waterfall to lazy river to filtration to the farms. He walked to the overlook fence, 4 stories down to lily pads and ponds. The Callies were sweeping around the edge. They'd have badges. Real badges that would stand up against Taeyong's security suspicions. Angel glanced at Maria. Can you swim? Chapter 24. The most terrifying thing about the men was how businesslike they were. They frog-walked her through the heat with a brisk efficiency, shoved her indoors, and strapped her to a chair without giving her an opportunity to escape or struggle. When they finally yanked the sack off her head, she found one of them laying out gleaming implements of torture on a kitchen counter. The other was straddling a chair, watching her, smiling slightly. "Well, hello, Lucy Monroe." The man had taken off his ballistic jacket and hung it on another chair beside him. He was wearing a wife beater that showed tattoos running up his arms. A dragon coiled up one arm, and on the other, an image of La Santa Muerte, Lady Death, displayed in intricate glory. "You like my tats?" the man asked, catching the direction of her gaze. Lucy tested her bonds. They'd done a good job. Her ankles were strapped to the chair legs, her arms pulled behind her and bound at both elbows and wrists. The cording cut into her skin, tightening when she tested it. Her fingers tingled from cut-off blood flow. Her captor watched, smiling slightly, seeming to know exactly what she was trying to do. Tattoos. A goatee. "I know you," Lucy realized. "You're from the morgue. You were one of the fake cops." She swallowed. "You work for Vegas." She looked over at the man laying out the knives and pliers. He wasn't the other water knife. He looked like some chalobi pulled off the streets. Tats all over him, face and body. Bald, with piercing, hungry eyes. "Where's your friend?" she asked. The goateed man laughed. "He's a little slow to figure out how Phoenix works. We're doing this party without him." They were in the kitchen of some suburban house. An open floor plan. Saltillo tile. Behind the man, glass sliding doors showed the blast furnace blaze of Arizona desert, cut by a line of high chain-link fences topped with barbed concertina wire. Beyond the fences, desert hills ranged upward, studded with creosote bushes and desiccated saguaros, festooned with clear sacks glittering in the sun. "What's your name?" Lucy asked. "Does it matter?" It didn't, not really. It was just her reporter's brain, somehow still trying to create a story, even as her story was coming to an end. The chalobi set a hacksaw on the counter beside a roll of rubber medical tubing. "You got any tats?" her captor asked. The chain-link fence beyond the sliding glass doors was weirdly familiar. She glimpsed a sliver of blue beyond the fencing. A river? No. The CAP. She was seeing the Central Arizona Project Canal. The artificial river was no more than 100 feet away, placidly flowing blue, which placed her either north or west of the city, at the edge of Phoenix's sprawl, which helped her not at all. The chain link and barbed wire were to keep people from getting to the open water flowing in the concrete-lined canal. When she'd first come to Phoenix, she'd written stories about refugees cutting through the chain link, only to be shot dead by Phoenix militias. Now the fences displayed high-voltage warnings along their length, and drones patrolled overhead, and people avoided the no-man's land. Lucy wondered if there was some way she could use the CAP's security to her advantage. some way to get the Bureau of Reclamation security personnel to give a damn about her. Get the attention of some drone in the sky.
None? No tats at all?
Her interrogator seemed genuinely interested.
Why?
Her voice was thick. She cleared her throat.
Why do you care?
No reason. He rested his chin on the back of the chair, dark eyes considering.
Just thinking that I probably need to cut them out if I don't want you identified.
His companion came over and handed him a kitchen knife. He tested the edge and nodded.
Got up from his seat.
Pushed the chair aside. Lucy could feel herself beginning to hyperventilate. She wanted to be strong and not break down, but all she could feel was her heart speeding up as he approached with the knife. She jerked against her bonds, trying to get free. The knife came closer, and she screamed. Pure reflex. But once the panic started, she couldn't stop. She screamed and thrashed against the cords that held her immobile and tried to get away from the approaching knife. She screamed desperately, trying to reach out to someone beyond the walls of the house to make someone, anyone, hear and care. The man brought the blade up to her eye. Lucy threw herself backward. She toppled and slammed into the floor, still tied to the chair. Her captors laughed. They got down and lifted her and the chair upright again. Set her steady on the tile floor.
That had to hurt, the man said.
The assistant came around behind and gripped her shoulders. His fingers dug in, holding her steady. She could hear his breathing, ragged and excited. The man with the knife dragged his chair closer to her.
I'd gag you, but the problem is I need answers. So if you got more screaming to do, you go ahead. I mean, we're in the last empty suburb on the last empty road at the end of the fucking earth. But if you gotta scream, I get it.
He leaned in. It's all part of the business, right? She was done with screaming. Already she could see how this would go. She tried to steel herself for what was coming, wishing for a fast way out, but knowing these men wouldn't give it to her. She wondered if she could throw herself into the man's knife, maybe kill herself faster than he intended.
I'm never going to see Anna again.
We each got work to do, the goateed man was saying. I got to do some hurting, and you got to do some screaming, just like your friend Jamie did some screaming. He grinned. Now that boy had a set of lungs. But you don't got to go that way, you know? You don't got to die with a broom up your ass. You don't even got to hurt much.
The man tested the edge of his knife.
All you got to do is talk instead of scream, and this goes easier for everyone.
Lucy found herself wishing she could send a message to Anna and her kids. Tell them something. Not to worry about her? That she loved them? What kind of message were you supposed to send when you knew you were about to be tortured and killed? Absurdly, Lucy thought of Anna and her handcrafted cards.
I'm never going to feel rain again.
More and more, it was sinking in. She was going to end up as a photo in one of Timo's blood rags, just like all the other people who ended up in empty swimming pools. Just another body. Just another enticement for click-through on some voyeuristic news site. Hashtag swimmer. Hashtag phoenix down the tubes. Hashtag body lottie. Hashtag reporters without borders, if someone managed to ID her.
What do you want?
Lucy asked. I'll tell you anything you want. Just please, don't hurt me.
Good girl,
the man smiled. Let's start with your friend James Sanderson. He had some water rights he was selling. Lucy nodded. Yes.
The way I heard it, these rights, they're senior to God. Might be the most senior rights ever existed. Old, old, old. That about what you understand?
Yes.
Nice. Thank you.
He smiled.
Now, do they really exist?
Jamie said they did. He looked disappointed. You never saw them?
She shook her head. He wasn't open like that.
Yeah, motherfucker played me pretty good too. I mean, here I was thinking he was going to sell us some sweet water rights, and I come up empty because the motherfucker already sold them to California.
He laughed.
Motherfucker jerked me around good.
I told him he was being stupid.
You know about that?
He smiled.
I told him double dealing doesn't pay while I was digging his eyes out.
He paused.
You want a drink of water? You thirsty?
Lucy swallowed, shook her head. Her interrogator glanced up at the Chilobi behind her.
My buddy behind you really wants to see you hurt, but I told him we'd hold off as long as you told me the truth.
I am telling you the truth.
That's good.
He leaned forward, studying her face.
That's good.
His knife dangled casually in his hand, seeming to come to accidental rest between her legs, against her inner thigh.
So let me tell you my problem,
he said.
While I was digging out your friend's eyes, he told me he sold those rights to the Calis.
The knife began to move, a lazy stroking motion.
Now I don't take that too personally. I mean, we know those motherfuckers got money. But here's the strange thing. The Calis can't seem to find the rights either. They got people running all over the place looking for the same thing I am. Your friend Jamie swore he sold them to California, but no one there has them.
He smiled as he continued stroking her thigh with the knife.
And here's the thing that's got me thinking. You see, I keep running into you. You're everywhere the Calis are, and you're everywhere poor old Jamie was, and that makes me think you're in this deeper than you're saying.
I'm not. I don't know anything. Jamie told me he sold the rights, too. He was just screwing with Vegas. He wanted to rip off Catherine Case. That's all I know.
The boy was ambitious. Gotta give him credit there.
The knife slid up her thigh. It pressed against her crotch. Lingered. Promising violence. The blade slid up her stomach. Slipped under her shirt. The point pricked her skin.
Just tell me what you want to know. I'll tell you. You don't have to hurt me. I'll help you.
Don't worry, we'll get to that.
With a single slice, he ripped the knife upward, cutting away her t-shirt and leaving her exposed.
Nice tits, he said.
He turned to his assistant.
Give me the electrical cord. I don't want her blood all over me.
But I don't know anything, Lucy protested.
Don't worry about it. This is just business.
By the time he'd finished with the whipping, Lucy's body was crisscrossed with fire, and she was shaking with uncontrollable spasms of terror. Her voice was hoarse from screaming. Her torturer wiped his forehead, grinning.
God damn, I'm sweating.
He went into the kitchen and filled a glass of water from an urn. Drank. Came back with the glass.
You thirsty? You want a sip before we get back to it?
Lucy summoned all her hatred and spat in his eye. Her torturer jerked back in surprise. She held her breath, expecting violence. But instead, he smiled, which was almost worse. The man wiped the spit off his face. He examined his wet fingers, then smeared the spittle down her own cheek. She tried to bite him, but he was too fast for that as well, as if he'd known exactly what she would try.
It's okay, he said. I know you needed to get that out of you. If you go on and tell me what you know, maybe I'll forget that you did it. But I got to be honest. If you didn't like the whipping, you're definitely not going to like what happens when I keep working you, because this is just warm-up.
But I don't know anything, Lucy protested. I really don't.
He took another drink of water and set the glass on the counter beside the pliers and knives and needles.
You know I'd believe you, except after I jammed a broom up your friend Jamie's ass, he told me a lot more than he started out telling me. People got a way of holding out, you know? took old Jamie a while to give up all the details. So I had to poke around in him. Kind of frustrating, because California does things right. Got all these fronts and blinds, so you can't really tell who's doing the paying and who's doing the collecting, which makes it hard to know what you need to ask. But if you keep poking around, eventually you get everything. He nodded at his companion. If you waste any more of my time, maybe I'll let Crop poke around in you for a little while, see what pops out.
All I knew was that Jamie was trying to sell the rights to California. And he was planning on jerking Vegas around. He had back-to-back meetings, and he was really proud of himself.
How did you know Rattan?
I didn't. He was just a lead. I was trying to figure out who killed Jamie.
And here I am helping you out with that. He smiled. You going to get me a Pulitzer for my original reporting?
She didn't say anything.
How about you help me out? He said. Tell me how you and Rattan were actually connected.
I told you already, we weren't.
You know, if Rattan was here, alive and all, he glanced pointedly at Crop, I might believe you. Problem is, he walked his face into a bullet. And that makes me suspicious, because you knew the guy who was selling the water rights. And you knew Rattan, the guy who bought them. And that makes me think you're in the middle somehow. Might be that you're the one who actually has them.
I'm not. I don't. Jamie had them, not me.
You know, I've been spending the last 3 days running around trying to find out where the fuck those water rights ended up. I mean, I ambush your friend Jamie and my guy Vosevich, and for what? Nothing. I get nothing out of it, because your friend Jamie's already sold the rights, and he's just dicking us around like we're his second best girl who he's never going to marry. Which leaves me in a tight spot. At first, I think I can maybe just grab the money your boy Jamie got out of California, except when I dug the bastard's eyes out, I lost my best chance at retina scanning my way into his bank accounts. I mean, how the hell was I supposed to know I'd need his eyes? So now I got nothing. And I got to cover my tracks, and I just got to eat the fact that I fucked my big score. He grinned. But then you know what happens? Good old Michael Rattan pops up, saying maybe he's got something special to sell and he wants to talk. I wonder what that could be. What could a nice button-down Cali like Rattan have that he'd want to sell to Vegas? Maybe it's something he don't feel like giving to his bosses because it's too fucking valuable. He laughed and shook his head. Motherfucker's making the same play I would have made if I'd gotten a hold of those rights. It's kind of beautiful, really. I mean, here I am, shaking my whole network, trying to find out if anyone knows where those rights went. And old Rattan comes running right to me saying he's got something big, and he wants to sell it. If Vegas will guarantee him safe passage and a whole fuck ton of digital currency. He grinned. Except Rattan's worse than stupid when it comes to working shit like this. So, he shrugged. You know, I drop in early on him.
He leaned forward. And then the motherfucker goes and gets himself dead. And I get stuck with his laptop and no pass keys.
And that's what you want?
Lucy started to laugh helplessly.
But I don't have any passwords. I don't even know Rattan.
She couldn't stop laughing.
If that's what you want, you're completely fucked because I can't help you.
Her laughter turned to sobs. She hated herself for it, but she couldn't stop.
I don't know anything, she sobbed. I can't help you. I'm sorry. I can't help you.
Damn, the man frowned. I kind of think you're telling me the truth, he sighed. But still, I got to be sure.
He gripped her teary face in his hand.
Don't worry. I'll put you down quick once I'm done.
He straightened and went back to the counter. Picked up the knife.
Oh, God. No, please, no.
Lucy started screaming before he was halfway back to her. She didn't stop for a long time. Chapter 25 Maria hit water, hard as concrete. She sank, stunned, then thrashed for the surface. 1 second, the scarred man had been asking her if she swam, and the next moment the asshole had heaved her over the rail to drop 4 stories into the pool. She surfaced, paddling clumsily, enraged and relieved that she was still alive. She hadn't swum for years, not since going to visit a lake with her family during summers. They'd picnicked, and she'd paddled in the muddy waters, and then the lake had dried up, and all that had stopped. The scarred man slammed into the water beside her. Waves swamped her. He surfaced and grabbed her, hauling her toward where the water disappeared into a mossy tunnel. She fought him, angry and terrified. "What are you doing?"
"Saving us both, or else getting us killed."
They were moving with a current that pushed them into the cave. He swam ahead and began fiddling with a metal grate.
"Are the Kallis coming?"
he asked. She knew who he meant, the guys with the suits. She peered out of the tunnel. They were running for the elevators and coming down.
"Yeah."
He pulled a pistol from his belt and handed it to her, then went back to pushing buttons on a keypad.
"Shoot anyone who sticks their head in."
"Are you serious?"
She didn't get an answer, because now he had the grate open and pulled her through and took the gun back. The Kallis jumped down into the water and started wading toward them. The man fired once, deliberately. They all dove for cover. And then the current was increasing, tugging them deeper into the heart of the arcology. Their stream was joined by other streams, pulling them on. Maria struggled to keep her head above water. Behind them, she glimpsed the Kallis at the grate, unable to get through. She bumped into the scarred man. He grabbed her, and for a second, she thought he was going to throw her over another edge. But instead, he was lifting her out of the water and onto a walkway.
"Grab on!"
Her fingers scraped, and then she had hold of the lip and dragged herself out. The man followed and flopped beside her, dripping and panting.
"Where are we?"
"Water treatment systems." He stood and hauled her upright.
"Come on, Taiyang security's definitely coming for us. We need to be out of here before they lock everything down."
He rushed her down a catwalk alongside the rushing river.
"How do you know where you're going?"
"Kind of faking it, actually."
"How do you open that grate back there?"
He laughed, looking pleased with himself.
"Biotech company that does the water treatment. Same as one we got in Vegas. They got standard passwords. Guess nobody changed it. It happens a lot."
Maria wondered what he would have done if he hadn't been able to unlock the grate, then decided the gun answered that question. He led her along the edge of the river, then over a walkway. Below them, the water pooled out, spreading and spilling down into tanks. They were in a huge cavern, redolent with the smell of fish and growing things. Mosses and algae choked the waters. Fish flashed in the shallows. A whole huge cavern full of water and life. Maria stopped, stunned. It was the aquifer. Its details were different from what she dreamed of, but still, it was the place. Her father had been replaced by the scarred man, and Maria was being led on catwalks instead of rowing a boat, and the stalactites overhead were now electronic monitoring devices flashing status as they dangled over the pools, extending sensors down into the waters. And yet she was sure that this was the place she had dreamed of. It was alive and cool, and even if it was full of workers running skimmers across the surface of algae vats, it was her aquifer. She had dreamed this place, and now she was here. She hoped it was a good sign, but she didn't have time to worry because the scarred man was already tugging her on. He led her through, walking quickly, and a worker looked up from a flashing screen, startled at the sight of them. Maria half expected him to shoot the worker, but instead he flashed a badge.
"Phoenix PD," he said. "There's a security situation."
He brushed right past the guy.
"You're a cop?"
Maria asked.
"To him I am."
They hit double doors and ended up in a dimly lit service corridor. The scarred man scowled up at the ceiling.
Cameras.
This way. He dragged her on, down another corridor. They hit a new set of doors, and suddenly they were outside. Maria blinked and squinted in the glare, but the man dragged her on. Dust swirled around them, whipped by winds and traffic. Ahead, a bright yellow Tesla's doors were popping open.
This is us.
He shoved her into the passenger seat and came around. The car locked down and came to life as he settled himself into the driver's seat. Clean dashboard instruments, electronic glows, and her sitting inside, feeling like a drowned cat as she dripped on the leather. AC came up, icy on her wet skin and dress. They pulled away from the curb and Maria was shoved deep into her seat as the car accelerated. She looked back, expecting pursuit. But no one seemed to have noticed.
Did we lose them?
She asked.
For now.
Now that she was no longer running, the adrenaline was draining out of her, leaving her feeling exhausted and chilled in the AC. She found that she was shivering. She couldn't remember the last time she'd been so cold.
Can you turn off the AC?
The icy gusts died, leaving them driving in silence.
You said you have someplace you can go?
He asked.
Yeah, there's a guy, he's pretty close to here. Over on the construction side. He makes pupusas.
You sure you don't want to be farther away?
The man sounded like he was trying to take care of her. Like he gave a damn. And it made her angry.
Why do you care? You just threw me off a railing.
Her head hurt. And the motion of the car made her nauseous. And now she was mad at him. This guy thought he could just drag her around however he liked. She started digging into her purse, the purse that he'd made her bring, to carry his damn ballistic jacket. She yanked the jacket out. It was practically dry, of course. Cadillac Desert was soaked.
Fuck!
It'll dry, the scarred man said, glancing over. I was going to try to sell it. Mike said people buy this shit.
He hesitated. It might dry. All that pain, and she was left with nothing. Staring at the sopping book, she fought to hold back tears.
Everything I try turns to shit.
This is close enough, she said. Drop me here. He pulled over to the curb and dug into his wallet. He pulled out some yuan and handed them over.
Sorry about... He nodded at the book.
Whatever, it's fine.
Maria found it hard to leave the cocooning wealth of the Tesla.
Sorry about your woman.
She wasn't mine.
Thought she must be, since you kept asking about her.
He looked away, and for a moment, he seemed deeply, shockingly sad.
You can't save someone who's trying that hard to get themselves killed.
Is that what she was doing?
She cared a lot about what she thought was right and wrong.
It made her blind. She was looking for trouble.
A lot of people are like that, she said. Blind, I mean.
Some people are, yeah.
You're not.
Not normally.
He said it bitterly. Even if he didn't admit it out loud, Maria could tell he'd cared about the dead lady.
Why did you save me?
She asked.
You could have ditched me way easier.
The scarred man glanced over, frowning. For a long moment, she thought he wasn't going to answer. But then he said,
Long time ago I was in your shoes, down in Mexico, you know. Saw something I shouldn't. Stood this close to a killer.
He indicated the distance between her and him in the car.
I was just a little kid then. Think I might have been 8 or 10. I was outside this little bodega down in Guadalajara, and I had an ice cream.
He paused, staring out through the windshield at the sun-blasted Phoenix Boulevard, lost in memory.
This sicario. You know sicario, assassin? This sicario drops a guy, right in front of me. He pulls up in his truck, gets out, walks over, and bang! Bullet in the face. 5 more in the body, another in the head to make damn sure. And me, I'm just standing there. The scarred man was frowning. And then this motherfucker, he points his gun at me. He glanced over at her, significantly. It's funny, because I can't remember anything about the sicario's face, but I remember his hands. He had Jesus written on his knuckles. I can't remember anything else about that guy, but I can see his hand, and that gun pointing at me like it was yesterday. The man seemed to shrug off the memory. Anyway, you were just in the wrong place at the right time. I'd been there. I wouldn't leave you there. He reached across and opened Maria's door. Lie low, don't do anything to show up on people's radar. Don't go back to where you used to live, don't do your old patterns. If you lie low, people will forget about you. Maria stared at the man, trying to figure out what he was about. Something in his story mattered to her, though. The killer's knuckles. The men, she said. One of them had a tattoo. Chapter 26. The guys who took your lady and killed... The girl swallowed. Pushed her black hair back behind her ear. One of them was going through the clothes in the bedroom while I was lying under the bed, and I could see his hand. He had a tattoo like you were saying about that other guy. That sicario you saw. Angel felt his childhood rising up to seize him. He could still remember the sicario's hand, and himself, incongruously trying to spell out the letters on his knuckle, even as the man's pistol centered on his forehead. Letters? He remembered the sicario smiling at him, pretending to shoot, letting the pistol kick in his hand, making the sound of its report the way Angel and his friends Raul and Miguel had played at guns. Pshoo! Angel had gripped his ice cream cone so hard it snapped between his fingers. He'd been so scared he pissed himself, his bladder letting go like a popped balloon, hot liquid coursing down his leg. The girl was talking. No, not letters. It was like a snake tail. It went around his hand and up under his jacket sleeve. I saw it. It was a snake tail. Angel was so caught up in his own memories that at first he didn't hear her words. And then, abruptly, it was all jigsaw puzzle pieces falling into place. His world clicking together, piece by piece, making a picture. A snake, you say? He ran his hand up his wrist. You think maybe it could have been a dragon tail? Did it have scales? Colored, maybe? Not wanting to prompt her into remembering something that didn't exist, but knowing the answer, and knowing before she answered what she was going to say. Not green, but maybe some other colors? Red and gold. I'll be goddamned. Absolute pattern emerging from chaos. Does it help you? Angel could have kissed her. This innocent girl being ground up in the gears of the world was offering him the gift of understanding. A virgin mother showing him the shape of the world. She should have been wearing blue, the Virgin of Guadalupe blessing him with all the pieces. Oh yeah, it helps. Angel reached into his pocket. It helps a lot. He had a sudden overwhelming need to balance all the things in the world that couldn't be balanced. Here. He emptied his wallet of cash, not bothering to count it. Take it. Take it all. You helped me. She took the cash with wide eyes, but he didn't wait to see its impact. Time was running out. He grabbed his phone, waving off her thanks. And then she was closing the door, and he was all alone, dialing a number from memory. Catherine Kay saw the world in terms of a mosaic. She spent her time trying to gather data, then shape that data into a picture that pleased her. But that wasn't Angel. He didn't need to shape a picture. He needed to see what was already there. Mosaics made you hope that you could push pieces around to create a picture that didn't exist. instead of letting all those little pieces click, click, click right into place. Instead of letting them tell you what was right in front of your face. Red and gold. Tail like a snake. Or a dragon.
Julio's phone went straight to voicemail. Angel swore and pulled away from the curb.
Goddamn, Julio.
Ducking and dodging, complaining about being stuck in Phoenix, bitching about big risks and small payoffs.
Red and gold. A tail curling around his wrist and up his arm.
The girl had seen it and thought it was a snake, but Angel knew what she'd seen. If that girl had been able to see the rest of Julio's arm and shoulder, the way Angel had so many times when they were out on some river, squeezing some dumb farmer for his water rights, both of them wearing tank tops and sweating, she wouldn't have said she was looking at a red and gold snake. She'd have said she saw a dragon. The number of people who handled water was small. Clean-cut Cali agents, federal bureaucrats in Burek, and the Department of the Interior. The municipal water managers of the many cities that depended on the interlocking water rights of the western United States. Julio. He'd been one step ahead of Angel all along, playing him right from the start, killing the people Angel wanted to talk to, cleaning up ahead of Angel, beating Angel to... What? What are you after, you hijo de puta? Angel remembered Julio standing in his hotel room, staring down at his phone, bitching about the lotería, pretending to be frightened. He remembered how Julio had scoffed about James Sanderson, not interested in him at all. Mid-level nobody. Doesn't fit the profile. I doubt Voss was running him. He would have told me. Julio's phone went to voicemail again. Where the fuck are you, you snake? Assuming that Julio needed information from the journo, he'd want a quiet place to question her. A place without neighbors. Some place he'd think of as secure. Angel wondered if Julio had big enough huevos to use one of his own safe houses. If he didn't think anyone was on him, he might. And for sure he wouldn't think Angel was on his trail. He thought Angel was still chasing mirages around Phoenix, pleasingly clueless while Julio skipped ahead of him. Julio would still feel safe, Angel decided. So he'd wander out to the blasted edges of Phoenix, somewhere in the dark zone, where electricity and water were shut off and people were scarce. And he'd set himself up in one of his nice Vegas safe houses that he normally used for meetings with his agents and informants, and that water knives like Angel could use when they needed to go to ground. And there he'd finish his business with Lucy Monroe. Angel had a half dozen Vegas safe houses memorized for his operation. Only a few were very close. They wouldn't be the only ones that Julio had set up on Vegas's behalf, but they were worth a try. Angel stomped on the accelerator, ignoring the Tesla's protests as he bottomed out on dust, washboard, and street dips. Time was ticking. Pretty soon, the journo would be another piece of ruined flesh, same as Vosovich and Sanderson.
Chapter 27. The first safe houses Angel tried showed no signs of life, but the third one had Julio's truck parked right out front.
Well, fuck you too, Julio.
The man's arrogance was irritating. If Angel needed any more confirmation that Julio thought Angel was a complete pendejo, finding the man's truck parked in plain sight in front of one of Las Vegas's very own safe houses did the job. Angel parked well down the street and studied the scene. Nothing but dust and tumbleweeds. Cracked stucco houses sat silent. Most of them had been gutted for their metals and solar panels a while back. Nothing to see, nothing to care about. Move along, folks. The houses were big. Angel wondered if the people who'd owned them had felt rich living in their 5-bed, 3-bath houses. They'd probably been pretty pissed when Phoenix shut off their water. All that money invested in things like granite countertops for resale value that were now just polished rock no one gave a shit about. Angel reloaded his Sig Sauer, chambered around, and sighted on Julio's truck.
"Phew,"
he whispered, imagining the pistol kicking in his hand. Angel knew the safe house layout from the training walkthroughs, and it looked just the way it had been in VR, except now the sun blazed down on his back as he approached. A realtor's keylock was attached to the door. Angel tapped the keys, holding his breath, hoping that Julio hadn't switched the safe house codes. The door clicked open. He jerked back as screams ripped through the gap. Ragged, animal-like, he eased down the hallway to the kitchen, checking rooms as he went. The screaming stopped, replaced by ragged breathing. Angel peered around a corner. Lucy was tied to a chair, stripped to the waist. Her lips were broken and bloody, her breasts raked with slashes. Julio and some Phoenix Cholobi with gang tats on his face stood over her, both holding knives while Lucy shuddered and whimpered. Angel stepped through the door.
"Thought you left for Vegas, Julio?"
Julio dropped the knife and whipped out a pistol. The Cholobi ducked behind Lucy and put his knife to her throat. Angel felt death's presence, black wings beating air. Angel and Julio both raised their pistols, but Angel fired first. The Cholobi's head exploded. He fell away from Lucy. Julio's bullet hit Angel in the shoulder, blasting him back like a horse kick. Angel tried to raise his gun and return fire, but nothing happened. The bullet had done something to his gun arm. He couldn't lift his hand.
"Told you you should leave," Julio said.
He pulled the trigger again. As his gun went off, Lucy threw herself forward. She toppled, still tied to her chair, into Julio. The bullet that had been destined for Angel's eye hammered past his ear. Lucy and Julio crashed to the floor in a tangle. Julio kicked free of journo and chair, cursing. Angel slapped the Sig into his left hand and braced it against the wall. Julio's gun was coming up, but he was too slow. Angel fired. A bloody hole appeared in Julio's chest. Angel kept pulling the trigger. More holes blossomed in Julio. Chest, face, belly, bone and blood mist. Julio dropped his gun and fell. He rolled, trying to reach his pistol again. Angel stumbled over and kicked it clear. Rosettes of blood stained Julio's chest. The man's jaw was shattered. His breathing bubbled with blood. Angel crouched beside his former friend.
"Who are you working for?"
Angel demanded.
"Why'd you do this?"
He wrenched Julio around, staring into the man's tooth-shattered, grinning face. Julio was trying to say something, but his voice was a rasp. Angel hauled him close, pressing his ear to the man's lips.
"Why?"
Angel demanded. But Julio just gave a final cough, spraying blood and teeth, and died. Angel knelt back, gripping his wounded shoulder, trying to make sense of Julio's betrayal.
Can you help?"
Lucy was lying on the floor, still tied to a chair.
"What?
Yeah, sorry." Angel went searching for a knife, found one on the counter. He sawed clumsily at her bonds with his left hand, cutting her free.
"You okay?"
"Yeah."
Her voice was hoarse.
"I'll live."
She peeled herself away from the toppled chair, moving stiffly. Pulled herself into a ball, staring at Julio and the dead Cholobi.
"You okay?"
She huddled there, hugging her knees, breathing, staring intensely at her torturers. "Lucy." At last, she took a deep, shuddering breath, and her eyes seemed to find focus.
"I'm fine."
She stood shakily and went to pick up her t-shirt. She examined the slashed rag and tossed it away. Went over to the dead Cholobi and crouched down beside him, started tugging off his wife beater. Angel was careful to look away as she pulled the clothing on.
"Don't bother,"
she rasped.
They're just tits. Angel shrugged, but still didn't look. He heard her suck in her breath as she pulled the shirt over her ravaged skin.
Okay, I'm decent, she said. Thanks for saving me.
Told you I could help, he said.
Yeah,
Lucy laughed shakily.
You do seem to have your uses.
She dragged her chair upright and sat down on it, wincing. Her blood was already staining through the shirt. She stared down at the stains, pulling the shirt away from her skin. Her hands shook.
How'd you find me?
Put a tracker on your truck, another on your purse.
I don't have my purse.
Someone saw you get taken by Julio. Got lucky because he used one of his old safe houses. He should have changed up more, but he didn't.
I thought you were all connected.
Angel stared down at Julio's dead body.
I did too.
It raised Angel's hackles to admit how much he'd missed. He should have seen it coming. If not in the man, then in the details around him. He'd missed whole pieces of the jigsaw puzzle. It made him wonder what else he wasn't seeing.
What do you know about all this that you wouldn't tell me before?
Angel asked.
Why should I tell you now?
Other than that I just took a bullet for you?
You didn't do that for me. You did that for Vegas, Little Miss Catherine Case. Angel scowled.
That how you're going to play it?
Is that a threat? She asked.
You think you're going to take a run at me like your friends did?
She was smiling tightly, and now he saw that she had a gun in her hand.
How?
Julio's gun. She'd collected it while he'd been distracted. She didn't miss a thing.
Bet I beat you to the draw,
she murmured, and her gray eyes were hard, cold chips. Angel glared.
I ain't like that. I just put a bullet in a friend for you, he said. I think I deserve to know why.
She stared at him, her jaw clenched. Finally, she nodded, looked down at Julio.
He's the one who killed Jamie and that other guy, Vosevich. He wanted to hijack the water rights Jamie was selling for his own profit. I think he ambushed Jamie and his own guy at a meet so he could get his hands on them. The joke was on him, though. Jamie had already sold the rights to California.
He wasn't selling them to us at all?
Jamie hated Vegas. He was just screwing with you. I told him he was in over his head.
So he sold them to Michael Rattan?
I think so. Your friend sure wanted to know if I could get into Rattan's computer. From what he said, Rattan was trying to do almost exactly what Jamie had done. Sell the rights to the highest bidder. So Rattan contacted the most likely buyer, Vegas. She smirked slightly. Your friend was desperate to find out if I could open Rattan's computer.
Can you?
I doubt it. Ibis is pretty good security.
She looked at Angel.
You're bleeding.
I told you I took a bullet for you, he said, exasperated.
She laughed at that.
My hero.
She got up and went to the kitchen. Came back with a bunch of towels.
Let me see.
Angel shrugged her away.
I'm fine. Just tell me about the deal your friend Jamie was doing.
No, let me see.
Her voice was commanding. Angel gave in. He eased out of his jacket. Lucy sucked air through her teeth.
Shirt too.
Wincing, Angel let her peel off his t-shirt. Her eyes traveled over his chest, the scars and tattoos.
You were in a gang?
Long time ago.
He shrugged and winced again.
Before I started working for Case, before I made it into Nevada.
She turned her attention to his shoulder. Your jacket took most of it, but your skin looks like someone ran it through a grater.
Julio liked choppers. Bullets that blew apart. Shitty on armor, though.
Be glad your jacket's ballistic.
Comes with the job.
You get in a lot of gunfights?
Not if I can help it, Angel laughed. Guns kill people.
She frowned. There's a lot of shrapnel in here.
She went back to root through the kitchen cabinets and came back with a bottle of tequila and a knife. Angel made a face.
What?
She challenged. You want to go to a hospital? See if Phoenix PD gets curious about you? Angel submitted. Lucy was efficient. She cut and poked and prodded. She poured tequila over the wound, and he gritted his teeth and bore it. She didn't apologize for what she did, or make a production of it. She just dug in, as if excavating a gunshot victim's shoulder wasn't much worse than wiping counters after dinner. She was good. He watched her pry into the shredded meat of his shoulder, her eyebrows knitted in concentration, pale gray eyes intent on the task.
You got a lot of experience with bullets?
He asked.
Some. We used to spend time shooting coyotes at this bar. Then we'd go down and skin them.
Coyotes?
The furry kind.
You dug the bullets out of the animals you shot?
No, that was for a friend. Photographer I know got himself shot up a couple times. Caught in the middle of a murder scene when the shooters came back for a second round.
The photographer you were with at the morgue.
Good memory.
Yeah, Timo. The knife sank deep. Angel hissed. Lucy glanced up.
Sorry.
I didn't complain.
She smirked a little at that.
Tough guy, huh?
Gotta be tough. Water knife basic training.
I thought water knives didn't exist.
That's right. Angel gritted his teeth against the pain. We're a mirage.
A figment of Phoenix's imagination, she murmured. Angel couldn't help liking her. Something about her efficiency, no bullshit. Most people would have been losing their shit right now after going through what she'd gone through. But she'd just gotten up from being tortured and gotten back in the game. She studied his wound, evaluating. Angel thought maybe he loved her eyes. He kept wanting her to look up at him, wanting to hunt for the recognition that he thought he'd find there.
You ever get a feeling that you know someone first time you meet them?
Angel asked. Lucy glanced up, sardonic.
No.
But even as she said it, he knew she was lying. Her gaze lingered too long, and when she started cutting into his shoulder again, her cheeks were flushed. Angel smiled to himself, content. They were the same, and they both knew it. He'd seen the same eyes in other people. Some cops, some hookers, doctors and EMTs, narcos, soldiers, even the sicario who had scared him to death when he'd just been a little kid. It was the same look every time. A tribe of people who had seen too much and had given up on pretending that the world was anything other than a wreck. And Lucy Monroe was right there with him. Lucy saw things. They were the same. He wanted her. He wanted her like he'd never wanted another woman.
Is that why I shot the Cholobi first?
A troubling thought. In the moment, he hadn't paused to consider his targets. But he clearly should have dropped Julio and his gun first, then gone after the knife guy who was holding Lucy hostage. Instead, he'd mixed up the order of his kills. Lucy had gotten to him, without him even knowing it, and it had almost gotten him a bullet between the eyes.
You've got a lot of scars, Lucy said.
Can't help but pick up a few.
He changed the subject.
You said your friend was in over his head.
Yeah.
Lucy finished patching up his shoulder and rocked back on her heels. She was kneeling inches from Julio's corpse, but she didn't seem to care.
Jamie came up with this scheme to get rich and get into California, she said. I was just going to write it up after. Exclusive, Pulitzer stuff. Inside story of how a pile of unexploited water rights changed the game for half of the American West. She sighed. And then he got greedy and decided he wanted to try to fuck Vegas, too.
What is it about these rights? What makes them such a big deal?
You ever heard of the Pima tribe?
Indians?
Native Americans, she said dryly. Yeah, the Pima. They're descended from the Hohokam who used to farm this area back in the 1200s. Lucy scooped up the knife and bloody towels and went back into the kitchen.